Back in April, I was pleased to welcome Peter Hall from Little Havens Hospice to tell us all about the great work that goes on there. Peter has returned to the studio today, along with a very special guest, Dee Anderson. Hello, Peter and Dee. Hi.
Hello.
It's lovely to be in an air-conditioned studio.
Oh, it is. It is. It's much more comfortable than out there, isn't it? Now, I've just got to make a little apology. I did explain to the listeners earlier. We've got some work going on around here. The fire alarm system has a fault on it in the Brentwood Centre, and there are engineers at the moment going around testing all the bells. So every now and again, we might hear a bell ring. So I apologise for that. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. But we'll carry on regardless. We'll just carry on. Now, Peter, we'll have a chat in a little while about all the latest goings on at the hospice, but first I'd like to chat to Dee. Dee, thank you so much for coming in today. I know you're going to tell us all about your experience of Little Havens with regard to your daughter, Katie, who very sadly died in August 2015 at the hospice, aged just 13. Do you find it difficult to talk about your experience, Dee?
Not at all. I mean, I look for any opportunity to talk about Katie and Little Havens. They're both very, very special place in my heart. And there's a kind of a stigmatism that comes when you have lost a child that nobody feels that they can talk about the child, and in actual fact it's quite the opposite. I enjoy talking about her.
That's nice to hear, because I must admit, reading Katie's story and trying to think of some appropriate questions to ask you was quite a difficult thing, and it's nice to see you sitting here with a smile on your face and happily talking about the whole thing, you know.
Definitely.
So first off then, tell us all about Katie. What sort of girl was she, and how do you remember her?
Oh gosh, I could be here all day. She was funny, quirky.
Yeah.
She was very adult for her years. I think being around a lot of adults in her life, hospitals, treatment, she kind of had the stamina that I totally respected and admired. She was cheeky and she just thrived on life. She was a sponge for information or learning anything new. And anything was thrown at her, she just took it on the chin. She was amazing.
Amazing. Excellent. Now, Katie was just 18 months old when she was diagnosed with, and forgive me if I say this wrong, but it's neurofibromatosis type 1.
That's correct, yes.
A genetic condition that causes non-cancerous growths to grow along the nerves. And from what I've read about this, it isn't usually a life-threatening condition. So what were you told about the disease at that time?
You're quite right. It isn't a life-threatening condition at all. People go on and live long and happy lives with NF1. It's shortened to NF1. Mm. But by the way, you pronounce that as great. So we were told that occasionally some tumours can grow in awkward places, but it's not very often, and they tend to treat them as and when they arrive. Mm. So she was scanned every year to detect anything that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, sure. And then it wasn't until Katie was 9 years old, a growth was found at the top of her spinal cord. And so what did the doctor tell you at that point?
Mm. Yes, they found a growth on her optic nerve when she was four.
Right.
So they then upped the MRI scans and into annual ones. And then when she was nine, they did find this tumour growing at the top of her spinal cord. And they didn't feel, because it was growing inside the cord, they didn't feel that they could leave it. Mm. So Katie was then faced with 18 months of intravenous chemotherapy using two different drugs, and we was at Great Ormond Street every week, and it was a really, really tough time. Mm. Really tough time.
What sort of effect did the treatment have?
Oh, she lost about a stone and a half in 8 weeks. She looked like she was dying. She looked terrible. She lost all her hair. She lost all her sparkle. Mm. She was just a flat child, and that's not what she was. She was. She was this really sparkly little girl.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult for the rest of the family as well. I have another daughter, Hannah, and suddenly I wasn't around very much. And when I was, obviously Katie got my attention. She had to be tube fed because she wasn't keeping anything down. She wasn't getting any nutrition from her food. So there was an awful lot going on. I had a silver platter in the morning where I'd get all her medication out for the day, and I'd bring it in with a smile saying breakfast time, and it just become a normal way of living.
Yeah, very difficult. How do you cope with something like that? I mean, Katie reached the stage where she said that she'd had enough. She didn't want any more treatment. as a parent, I can't imagine how I would react to that. What happened with you?
Mm. That conversation came after her 18 months of chemotherapy. She had pretty much 18 months where she was great. It was stable. It was classed as a stable tumour.
Right.
She went back to school. Her hair grew back. She gained weight and life was great. And then it started to grow back again. Mm. And that was tough because then she was facing another year of chemotherapy using a different combination. And it was after that had failed to work that she come up with the conversation. I remember it was like it was yesterday. She was sitting in the bath. I'm sitting on the toilet seat. We're having that mother-daughter banter. Mm. And suddenly her face changed and she said to me, I just don't want any more treatment. The treatment on offer was 6 weeks of intensive cranial and spinal radiotherapy.
Right.
And she just said, I don't want to have it. And she was 13 and I knew her well enough to know that if that's what she said, that's what she meant.
Mm.
And I did say to her, do you know what that means? And she said, yes, I do.
That was going to be my next question. You know, yeah. She obviously realised the full implications of that.
Of course
that.
She yeah. did, yes. Yeah, yeah. However, she did change her mind and she did have the radiotherapy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But sadly, that didn't work.
Oh dear. So when did Little Havens Hospice come into the story?
I was really angry when I first heard about Little Havens. Katie had just been diagnosed at 9 with her brain tumour. And I remember a social worker gave me a leaflet for Little Havens and I was cross because I'd just been told that 18 months of chemo and she was going to be great and we were going to live a long and happy life. And then to be handed a hospice leaflet, I was really cross because I thought it was really insensitive. And Little Havens invited us down for afternoon tea and it was just wonderland. It's just the most incredible place. Your perception of a hospice is very wrong for most people. It's a happy, magical place, and Katie loved being there. She ran rings around them all, and then it was an exciting time for her. Plus, it gave me some respite. I could spend some quality time with Hannah, doing stuff. I could either stay there or stay away. Kate usually liked me to leave her to her own devices, and that was another great thing about Little Havens is because if I needed a break, my family was reluctant to look after Katie because of her needs. She was, you know, this very fragile little thing, and the responsibility was too overwhelming. Whereas at Little Havens, they have such detailed care plans. I didn't second guess at leaving her there. I was quite confident in the fact that she was going to be looked after, and often better than I probably looked after at home because she got spoilt rotten.
Oh, right. And of course, Little Havens, they don't just look after the patient, do they? They look after the family as well. What was your experience of that?
Yes, they do. Above Little Havens, the main building has upstairs and it has ensuite bedrooms where parents and family can go and stay. Mm. We are very much looked after by Little Havens as a family. And, you know, the children can have sleepovers there with their friends. So it's not a place they go and are treated as a patient. They go and are treated as a child and everything that a child would want. They're not a medical file when they go there, which is perfect.
Yeah. Now, sadly, as we mentioned, Katie died in August 2015. What do you remember about that day, the day that Katie died?
Yeah, it came up suddenly because she was always going to be cured. It wasn't something that I had even considered, her end-of-life care. I knew that Little Havens did end-of-life, but I never thought it was something that I would need. Mm. And it was during a stay at Little Havens, and they were great at picking it up. They picked up that her breathing had changed. They took her to the local hospital, and by the morning she was on life support. Mm. And over the next 3 weeks, they tried several attempts to make her or encourage her to breathe independently, but failed. And then on the Thursday, the decision was made that there was nothing more that they could do. And Little Havens had liaised with the hospital throughout this time, and they said bring her back. So she was taken back to Little Havens for end-of-life care. And knowing Katie so well, they had decorated the hospice as Christmas. And Christmas in August was quite special. And I knew she really appreciated it. One of the strap lines for Little Havens is making every day count.
Yeah.
And those last few days there, counted. They made very, very special memories for me. And yeah, if she could have been anywhere, that's where I would have wanted her to be, and where she would have wanted to be as well.
Yes. Now, you had a very frank conversation with Katie before she died about her wishes for her end-of-life care and beyond. Tell us about that and how that helped you cope, Dee.
Oh, gosh, yes. Because we didn't expect, we were looking at end-of-life, when we did have that conversation that it was a possibility, we kind of, it was more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of conversation. I got that she wanted to be cremated and she wanted her ashes scattered in a family wood where bluebells grow. Mm. So when it came to making that decision, she'd also researched her coffin, what coffin she would want.
Amazing.
So it was all it was easy for me to organise with the help of Little Havens, because between us we knew what she'd want and where I needed to go to access this information. Mm-hmm. And her funeral was one of the best days of my life. It
really?
Was just, it was magical. She would have loved it. Best party ever.
And there was a connection with her grandparents, I think, as well, wasn't there? The Bluebell Wood?
My grandparents' ashes are in this Bluebell Wood, yeah. So we used to visit it every year.
Grandparents?
Yeah, my grandparents, yeah. On May Day every year, the whole family get together. I think this year it was about 32 of us. And we all walk down to the Bluebell Woods and spend some time there. We have a picnic. And it's just lovely. It's lovely to get everybody together. Mm. And Katie enjoyed that part. She loved family. Mm. And so it was where she wanted to be.
Well, I think you're amazing coming in here today and telling us all about that. And you're a very good advertisement for Little Havens Hospice, aren't you?
I mean, thank you.
I believe you're giving back to Little Havens now. You do some work for them, don't you?
Yes, I'm blessed to be a community champion, an ambassador for Little Havens. And if I can go and do talks at community centres or schools, assemblies, some of the corporate events I go to raise awareness, really, of the work that the hospice does and the positive impact it has on those respite days on that child. And afterwards, it doesn't just stop at the moment that the child emigrates to the other side of the clouds. It's a lifelong partnership, and by giving back, it makes Katie's death a little bit easier to bear.
Yeah. Well, Dee, thank you so much for talking to us.
Pleasure.
I hope you stay with us for a little while. We're going to talk to Peter in a minute, but we'll just have a little bit of a musical interlude now, I think. Thanks again, Dee.
Thank you.
That's the Bangles, If She Knew What She Wants. It's Bob Simpson on 1, 2, 3, and I'm in the company of Peter Hall from Little Havens Hospice and Dee Anderson, who's just told us all about Katie's story. Well, Peter, what do you think about Dee coming here today and telling us all that?
Well, Bob, you know, I think you just said a moment ago before we went to the music, Dee, you're an amazing lady, and I would echo that thought. And Dee used the words as well when she was talking about her volunteering and talking about Katie, about what a blessing it is to be given that opportunity to share Katie's story. Mm. And for me, to be someone that works full-time for the charity, that works alongside our families in different capacities, I'm not on the front line in terms of care,
right,
but obviously involved with fundraising, but I consider it a real blessing to be alongside someone like Dee, who can talk with such passion and love about her daughter, with a real desire and a real sense of joy to communicate what amazing work Little Havens does. So, you know, for me, it makes what I have to say now seem almost trivial, because actually having Dee come along and talk about Katie and what Little Havens has done is what it's all about.
Well, so. Yes, but what you're talking about is carrying on the business of the hospice and ensuring that it can help more people, isn't it?
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah. And those magical moments and experiences that Dee was just sharing, she'll have forever. And if we can facilitate that for our families and to give them a dignified and a joyous experience at Little Havens, even at the time of death, as you heard Dee speak about, that's so vital in otherwise an unimaginably difficult time for our families.
Absolutely.
If I can just add there,
yeah,
I was unaware that, although Katie was at Little Havens when she did pass away, and we had, as a family, we got to use the bereavement suite, which is a vital part of the hospice. It gives you time with your child. It's a beautiful decorated bedroom with an adjoining lounge, and that's yours. They feed you, they give you drinks, they allow you to have breaks and sleep. Katie wasn't left on her own for 1 second. Right. And you can stay there for up to 2 weeks after your child's passed away. Wow. Which gave me the opportunity to learn to say goodbye, because I really wasn't expecting to be in that situation. But since Katie passed away, I've discovered that if your child does pass away, sadly, in hospital, that child can then still go to Little Havens, and you can benefit from the bereavement suite.
And you think that's a valuable experience to
totally,
do that?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I mean, for those of us who thankfully have never gone through that, it's difficult to comprehend, really. I think you prevent yourself from thinking about anything as awful as that happening
it's
to you.
It's unimaginable. You won't allow your brain to go there.
You said it in one word. Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Peter, obviously you're doing wonderful work in difficult circumstances, and of course your fundraising is vitally important to keep the hospice going. So tell us what you've been up to lately.
Oh, do you know, it's such an every day is almost like Christmas Day. You heard Dee talking about Christmas in August for Katie.
Yeah.
Well, we like to think that every day is Christmas Day,
right,
and special at Little Havens. We just celebrated Children's Hospice Week at the end of May, where the spotlight goes on the work of children's hospices nationally, but in Essex, Little Havens is the only children's hospice for the whole of Essex. And there was so much activity and fundraising going on, showcasing the vital work and the range of services that you've heard Dee talking about. And in fact, we had both Dee and another local volunteer, Babs Brand, who also lives in Brentwood, both of them recently put together an afternoon tea over at the old rectory in Lower Dunton Road.
Yes, we had that on our events guide.
Wasn't it a great afternoon, Dee?
It was amazing.
It was a massive success. We raised over £2,000.
Oh, wow.
And it was so lovely to see people coming together, having a lovely afternoon tea in beautiful surroundings, and more importantly, raising lots of money for the hospice as well,
fantastic.
which was really great. But there's other things coming up too.
Yep.
There's a quiz. I know I'm sure lots of your Phoenix FM listeners are avid quizzers.
Oh, yes.
And I love a good quiz, but sadly I'm not around for this one. But coming up on the 23rd of June, which is a Friday evening, over at the Brentwood School in Middleton Hall Lane, our good friends at the Rotary Club of Brentwood are organising and hosting a charity quiz. And the good news is it's all for Little Havens that evening.
Brilliant.
And I know Dee is going to be there, and she's really keen to encourage as many local people really to come along. Tickets are £8, teams of eight, and there's a jacket potato with salad provided for that as well. So if people want to come along, they can contact Dee directly as our local representative volunteer for the hospice, who will be attending on the night. So that's Friday the 23rd of June at the Brentwood School.
Right.
If people would like to come, they can call Dee on 07833 948 797. That's 07833 948 797, and Dee will be able to provide more details.
If you leave me the details of that, Peter, we'll get it on the website as well. Yeah,
that'll be great.
Yeah,
we'd also like to encourage those of your listeners that perhaps have really been inspired by what they've heard so far today, and let's face it, who wouldn't have been? And perhaps that's made them think, do you know, I'd like to come and experience or see Little Havens for myself. We have an open doors event coming up on the 25th of June, which is a Sunday. It's a drop-in between 11 and 3, and it's an opportunity for members of the public, whether they support us or not, or whether they're just interested in finding out more about what we do, they can come down to Little Havens in Benfleet, Dawes Heath Road. It's on our website, all the details. There's no cost.
Right.
They can stay for half an hour or a couple of hours. There's a village fair feel to it. There'll be bouncy castles, afternoon tea, inflatables, craft fairs, all sorts of things, and they'll be able to have a look at the hospice and the gardens as well. The only thing we can't guarantee is a beautiful day like today. But ever the optimist, I'm hoping the sun will shine.
I'm sure it will.
That's on our website, havenshospices.org.uk.
Okay. Well, you virtually covered it, really, because I was going to ask you for some what was coming up, and what about contact details for donations or potential volunteers?
Yes, well, there's a couple of quick things. I've already mentioned the website. website, havenshospices.org.uk. If people head out over to our homepage, click on Little Havens Care, and they'll be able to read Katie's story as well. Yeah. So, and lots of other stories, some lovely video clips and some words and about the children and families that we've cared for. That certainly brings our care to life, as Dee's already done this afternoon. If they'd like to donate, they can again do that via the website at havenshospices.org.uk.
Right.
They can ring directly through to the fundraising team, and that number is 01702 220305, because all of the care that we provide to all of our families, like Dee, and a range of services that we provide, are all free of charge. We don't charge a penny for our care. So donations and community support are vital.
Absolutely.
For us to continue the work we do. So we would encourage people to do that, and head over to the website.
Okay. Well, that last half an hour has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us and talking so frankly, Dee, about your dreadful experience that kind of has a positive side, doesn't it?
And, it needs to have a positive side, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's been an honour to talk to you. I think you're amazing.
Thank you.
And you, Peter,
for all the
work you do. And, you can listen again to all that on the Phoenix FM website. That'll be up there later today. Right now, though, it's news time.